to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 193. I've got Henry here with me.
Hello.
And on, not the phone, I don't know what to say. What do I usually
laptop.
Say? Here Wait, with us through say? The
Over
miracle
Skype?
Of Skype is Elizabeth.
Hey.
How's it going, Elizabeth?
It's actually pretty good. You know, I've been indoors for quite a long time, it feels like.
I don't know what that feels like. I say sarcastically.
Sarcastically, yeah, yeah.
As I'm sure everyone already knows.
Listening, or if you're currently listening, I think everybody's in the same boat. So last week we talked about on the podcast our strange vacation to Italy and our experience in Italy and returning home from Italy. And this week we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about like getting home and being in self-quarantine. And that seemed like a unique experience for about 2 days. And then it seems like after that, it's everyone's in the same boat, mostly.
Mm-hmm. Basically, yeah.
So tell us about how you've spent the last couple of weeks, Elizabeth.
Well, we got a lot of cleaning done. Like our apartment is probably the cleanest it's ever been since we moved in.
That's somewhat encouraging.
Yeah, so that's good.
Well, if you're gonna be home all the time, you want to be in a relatively clean apartment, right?
Yeah, yeah. It does feel a lot better now that it's clean. I can't take most of the credit. Most of the credit goes to Bex, because I got tired and fell asleep like in the middle of cleaning last night.
Yeah.
My sleep schedule is so weird.
Is it like, all messed during, up?
It's all messed up. Yeah, I was surprised that I only slept in. I went to bed at like 6:30 last night or this morning, I guess, and then woke up at 12. It's bananas. It's weird.
It's like you're back in college again.
Yeah, exactly. 'Cause I don't have anything to do, and I naturally, I guess, as a person, I have a lot of momentum. I like to say. So like I don't want to get out of bed in the morning. Like I want to stay in bed, but I also don't want to go to sleep at night. So I just want to like keep doing whatever I'm doing.
I never took physics, but I know that one of Newton's laws has
inertia?
To do with, yes,
yeah,
a body in motion tends to stay in motion and a body at rest tends to stay at rest.
An
it's
object,
like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unless acted on by an imbalanced force, and I'm not sure what that imbalanced force is, but it's probably self-isolation. Probably.
Yeah, inertia is a strong thing for all of us, I think. Mm-hmm. I share that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, during the school year, usually my sleep schedule is very regular because I have to get up and go to classes at a certain time. I have to be in school, like, at a certain time, I leave by a certain time, I get stuff done at a certain time, and I go to bed at a certain time.
So back us up a little bit. You had just got a job teaching at a high school English.
Yes.
You taught for what, 1 week?
Not 1 week. I taught for about 3 weeks, not including spring break.
So like before spring break, though, you taught for 2 weeks?
Yeah, about 2 weeks.
And then your students went on spring break. We went to Italy. And then, like our school district, they just said, well, we're going to extend spring break for another week, right? That's what they initially said?
Yeah. And now, you know, we don't know when we're going back exactly. I think tentatively they said like April 6th or so, but we really don't know if it's going to be extended. We don't know.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in the country are in the exact same boat, but there's no way they're going to come back on April 6th is my prediction.
Yeah, I kind of doubt that will be back in school by then. That's just sort of, well, we'll see when we get there type stuff. So yeah, now I'm basically doing online classes.
So how does that work? for your school district? And then Henry can talk about how it works for him.
So for my school district, for what I'm doing on my side of things is essentially just upload a bunch of assignments, most of which are provided by cooperating teacher, because I'm a first year teacher and nothing like this has ever happened.
Yeah.
To me, although it's going to be a first time experience, well, no matter what.
I mean, nothing like this has ever happened to me, and I'm an old man.
And I'm a young man.
This is kind of like,
it's a once in a lifetime thing. Like, it's the weirdest thing. In many ways, it's the weirdest thing that's ever happened.
Well, as far as I know, it's a once in a lifetime thing.
As far as you know, unless it becomes a regular thing, and then who knows?
Weird. It's Corona season again.
Hopefully, this is a once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've been alive for a lot of like historical events.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was alive for this. I was alive for
at least like 21, 22 years worth, right?
Yeah. There's been some like crazy stuff happening in politics.
Do you remember 9/11? Do you have like a memory of it?
9/11? Yeah, I do actually. Maybe this is a little insensitive. I don't know if we'll cut this out or whatever, but I remember being, I think I was about 4 years old. And I remember playing with Play-Doh at the, in the kitchen and thinking and like bugging mom to turn the news off because I wanted to watch like cartoons or whatever. Cause I didn't know what was going on. I was like a baby basically.
Yeah. That was, even though it's totally different, that's probably the closest thing I can think of in my life, just in terms of like, it just shook everyone out of their ordinary life, was 9/11.
Yeah.
And I'm obviously, I have a clear memory of it because I was, you know,
a full grown adult with the child
and working as an attorney. Yeah.
Yeah. You were working in Dallas at that time. And I remember mom was saying that she was freaked out because, you know, it's a major metropolitan area.
Yeah. Well, and I had, and this is sort of way off topic, but I had an office that sort of looked out from the 26th floor of our building and had like a clear view of Eastern Dallas. And you could sometimes see like airplanes flying over the city. And it was like, you know, you just sit there and you think, I don't really need to be here right now. And that's when everyone just sort of went home, and it was not really knowing when they'd come back to work. So that part of it was similar. But this is going on so much longer than that.
Yeah, it's weird because it's a crisis, but it's kind of boring.
Yeah, it's like a really boring and frightening crisis.
Yeah, it's like
mostly boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I think somebody was talking about. I think I was watching a stand-up comedy thing, it was a podcast by two comedians, but they were talking about like horrible things happening, but like it happening really, really slowly. It's like, if you're in the middle of the ocean and you hear that there is a shark coming and like you start panicking, you start freaking out, and then you like cycle through all the five stages of grief. And by the time you're done with that, they're like, okay, now the shark is an hour away.
Yeah. Or 3 days away, or a week
away. 3 days away. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or we don't actually know when it's going to get there. So you just sort of stuck there. So like, you just gotta wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be here any day now.
I mean, I feel like it'll be over soon because I feel like companies are working all day and all night to find the most profitable cure.
Yeah. Well, they've actually inoculated someone with a potential vaccine. But
that's good.
But they have to wait. You have to have at least a year to do the testing and see if the vaccine works and if it has any adverse effects. So,
but you have to wait a year?
Mm-hmm. That takes about a year. Maybe a little bit less than a year. They may speed it up a little bit, but you can't just say, all right, here's the vaccine, we're going to give it to everyone, which is what they would do like on a science fiction show. But you have to have human testing. They actually skipped over the animal testing because of the crisis, but someone has been inoculated with a vaccine, but it probably won't be available until like about a year from now. Hmm. And it also takes a lot of time to like mass produce it and distribute it too.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yes. So backing up a little bit, tell us a little bit about kind of how teaching works for you right now, to the extent that you're teaching at all.
So I'm teaching in an area where we have like a lot of kids who either like they move around a lot or they might have limited resources. A majority of our kids, I want to say, like are able to access the internet and do just fine. But because not all of our kids are able to do that, we're actually not allowed to like give out grades or anything at this moment. Of course, we're not telling our kids that explicitly because we want them to still do the work. We are like uploading stuff online and going, okay, here's the directions. I'm here if you have any questions. And then just basically being available to answer emails, answer questions online, kind of walk them through stuff, walk them through the assignment, take a look at their assignments, make sure that we're keeping up with whatever they're doing.
Do you do any, like Zoom or Skype or anything with your students?
No, I did do a Zoom or a Google Hangouts meeting but it was a staff meeting.
Uh-huh. Like a faculty meeting?
Yeah, a faculty meeting at the beginning of all of this to, like, figure out, like, what was going to be going on and to go over, like, what the district had said they were going to do and how we were going to handle our district or, like, our school specifically. But really that was the most intensive thing that I've done. It's been pretty, I don't have a whole lot work wise to occupy myself, right now. So I've picked up a few things. I've started playing guitar more.
Oh, yeah?
I've almost learned one song, from memory. It's a song by Joyce Manor.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually not chords. It's the first like tab.
Uh-huh.
That I've found out all the way through. It's just a simple song called Drainage. It's really good though. I'm kind of proud of it. I picked up embroidery.
Is that something? Is that something you could play on the podcast or maybe another time?
Yeah, I could play it on the podcast. I have my guitar like over there. If you remember, at the end of the podcast, I might be able to like pluck out something for you. I don't know if I feel comfortable singing because I still don't have the singing part down, but I can play the chord progression through the tab.
It seems like
you can play a little guitar. William's been playing guitar kind of.
Yeah, he's
up
been figuring out like a ton of songs.
Oh, nice.
So maybe you guys jam sometime.
We could jam. Actually, Bex, which I don't know if y'all knew this, Bex is actually a bass player.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
So they have their electric bass here and like their amp and everything. So we could like just start a long distance band, I suppose.
Yeah. Have you noticed that like musicians are doing that right now? Because, you know, they can't do anything. So most musicians these days, they make all their money touring.
Yeah.
You know, just releasing music doesn't make any money for most people, unless you're like Beyonce or someone like that or Taylor Swift. But a lot of touring musicians now are just like, and sometimes it's for pay or sometimes it's just for to have something to do, but they're like releasing like kind of live performances of their own, like on YouTube or live streaming them.
Yeah, I was about to say doing like a musical like Twitch stream with just like super chats. I mean, even if it was like free, just from super chats, it could probably make a good chunk.
Yeah.
Not like a whole lot, but a good chunk of change.
Yeah, and it's just a way for them to stay connected to their fans. So like Ben Gibbard the other day did like a all covers set, and it was his song selection was really good.
Nice.
But yeah, I don't know how you find out about those things, I guess, unless you follow a musician on Twitter or something like that. But
yeah, or someone shares it.
Yeah. Or there'd be like collaboration where both people will be in two different locations. They'll do it over Skype or something.
Yeah.
Or they could play at a grocery store.
Yeah. I don't think you'd want to do that.
No.
Because you don't want to gather a crowd. That's the problem. You can't gather people in front of you.
Well, yeah. Each person can be like 6 feet apart. I mean,
and there can be no more than 9 people.
You can set up like little cubicles outside.
Yeah. So Henry, how is school working for you? I know I've been around, so I sort of know, but explain it to us.
Basically, we just have a bunch of stuff on Canvas. By the way, in case you're wondering, Canvas is like Google Classroom, but worse.
It's what your school district uses.
Well, now they use it.
You like Canvas, did you say, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I liked Canvas when I was in university, and I still used it.
Well, yeah, but is it better than Google Classroom, in your opinion?
I haven't used Google Classroom enough. I've used it mostly from the teacher end, so I don't have both experiences, you know what I'm saying?
But basically, if you want to know what Google Classroom is like, it makes Canvas look unnecessarily complicated.
You have a lot of opinions about Canvas, but let's move on from that.
Anyways, we have a bunch of stuff on Canvas that you have to turn in. And last week they did it like you have to turn everything in for the week by Friday, but this time they're doing it by Sunday, I guess.
That's almost worse, because then it bleeds into your weekend.
That's fair.
I think, but
yeah. Well, time doesn't really mean anything, though, at this point.
That's true. Yeah. You know how you were talking about your sleep schedules are all messed up? I've noticed the same thing about the boys, too. It's like they stay up, and then they just get up whenever we wake them up. And
that's fair.
Yeah.
Sometimes we wake ourselves up.
So I know you have done some Zoom things, too, right?
Yeah. By the way, has anyone heard of Zoom before this?
I have, but it wasn't nearly as much as now. I think now if you say Zoom, everybody knows it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder why people know it more than like Hangouts or Skype. Although there's like a chat feature. That might be it.
I think it's free, which is why a lot of people are using it.
What about Hangouts?
Hangouts is free too, I suppose. But
although it's
I don't know if quality. Hangouts has as many capabilities as Zoom does. But I don't know. I don't really know what I'm talking about. So you've had like your private lessons for cello, I know, on Hangouts.
And then we have band class on Zoom, although we've done it twice now. But the first time, for some reason, like, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but for some reason Zoom split our entire class up into two different groups. So my band teacher is only with one of them, and in the other one where everyone was just confused. So that was fun.
Yeah, it's harder to gauge how people are doing online. I feel like until they've turned in the work. Because like from a teacher's perspective, like when you're walking around the room, you can kind of tell, okay, this person's like not paying attention. This person's doing pretty well. This person's doing really well. This person's kind of struggling. But if it's all online, there's not as much like in-person feedback.
By the way, during the confusion of the whole Zoom band thing, I got a bunch of people with recorders to start playing their recorder.
Just there.
I got the recorder gang to rise up.
Oh, no.
So here's what my days are like since I got home from Italy. I'll go to bed at the end of the day. I'll sleep. I'll wake up, shower. And then as soon as I'm out of the shower, I'm pretty much at work. There's no commute. I'll flip open the laptop, start working on email. I've got a meeting that's set at the beginning of the day, 8 o'clock, and in the afternoon at 4 o'clock, because I am sort of in charge of a lot of the coronavirus stuff for my company. I'm part of the team. I'll put it that way. Part of the team that's addressing a lot of the coronavirus stuff for my company, which is a large company. So that's been extremely busy. It's kind of a bummer because it's like, I wake up, I work until I hopefully don't have any more work to do, which is usually well beyond where I normally worked. And then maybe I'll watch a little TV with mom and go to bed. That's pretty much it. And then I wake up and do it all the next day. Last weekend, I worked a whole bunch. The one thing that's kind of keeping me sane, well, there's two things I think that are kind of keeping me sane. One, I'm able to cook a lot. I really like cooking. I find it really relaxing.
Okay, one thing I noticed is that, like, you keep on baking bread because, like, you bake really good bread, and then we eat it all, like, within, like, a couple of days. Then you bake more the day that it runs out.
It's also because we can't really buy bread too easily.
That's true.
So baking bread is something I can do so we can make sandwiches or toast or whatever. So we have bread.
Yeah.
Making some meals. That's nice. And then the other thing is we've made a conscious choice to like everybody taking like being outside at least some point in the day. And I'll like take a walk or take the dog for a walk.
Or maybe both.
Yeah, it really does. I think it's really important like for sanity just to go outside, feel the sun on your face. Walk around, hear the birds, you know, walk in one direction for a while. It really helps. And sometimes because I've been so busy, I have to check my email while I'm taking my walk. Like today I got an urgent call while I was on, and I was like, all right, I'll call you back in 5 minutes. And I had to hurry home because I was way on the other side of the neighborhood. But, but still it's important for me to just get out of the house a little bit.
Yeah. Get some sun, some fresh air. We've been opening our window more often, partially because the cat loves to sit on the windowsill and just watch the cars go by or whatever. But also just because it's nice to get some sun in here, get some nice wind. It makes you feel more of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we've been getting out as much as we can too. It's gotten really hot lately. It feels like basically summer outside today and yesterday.
Yeah. And then of course, because we are under self quarantine and we've been very strict about it, so not having any contact, including at stores, Elizabeth's been very nice to our family and has brought us groceries a couple of times.
Yep.
So she will come deliver the groceries, put them on our front, by our door, and then step back, and then we can visit with her more than 6 feet away.
Yeah.
And
I mean, we didn't use that's been pretty tape, nice. But
I mean, there's been a couple of other. We've got a few deliveries from Amazon Now, which is their grocery delivery service. But it's pretty broken. There's a lot of stuff they just either don't have in stock or they don't have any delivery windows. Mom did get one ordering groceries from Walmart where it's apparently, curbside pickup where they just load it into your car and you don't have any contact with the person.
Apparently that's kind of really painful to use because the way that worked, it said that they didn't have certain items, so she had to start the whole process over and then replace it with other items. But then it turns out that they did have those items, and we got both. It was weird.
Yeah, it's and I think it's just hard for all businesses right now because this is so weird and they've never dealt with it before. When the last time Elizabeth brought us groceries, you brought us the tiniest package of toilet paper I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, they only had 4 packs.
I could literally wear it as a one mask.
Roll of toilet not only paper. Was it 4 packs, but it was a tiny roll of four tiny rolls. And I'm not blaming you. I just thought it was, we've been laughing about that ever since. Just the tiniest, saddest package of toilet paper any of us have ever seen. And we're not out, so it's not a crisis. We can laugh about it.
If it's really bad, you can just hop in the shower and just shower off afterwards. It's not like you have anywhere else to be.
It's true. It's true. Just use the full body bidet, I guess.
As we like to call it in the U.S.
Huh. Yes.
The full body bidet.
Yeah. The shower.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. one time I was forced to have to drink Diet Pepsi.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
I saw that.
Pepsi Zero. They actually have something called Pepsi Zero now, which seems weird.
Wait, where did you get the Pepsi Zero? I didn't.
No, it's called Pepsi Zero Sugar.
Well, yeah. Zero
where
Sugar,
did you
Pepsi.
Get it
Mom
from?
Ordered it. I think it was when she ordered the stuff from Walmart. They didn't have any Coke Zero, but they could substitute Zero Wild Cherry.
When we got it, I was confused because I even told Mom, I thought we already had enough cleaning supplies.
You know, it wasn't terrible because I was that desperate. The one thing that was weird, though, is, and William pointed this out to me, the Pepsi Zero has twice the caffeine as a regular Pepsi.
Does it?
Strange. Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Why would they do that? I'm not really sure.
They make it more addictive.
I suppose.
I don't know why, but
make up for the lack of sugar.
Yeah. But so far, other than that one dark period, I've been able to manage to score some Coke Zero, so I'm keeping that habit going. I don't know. Maybe this is the opportunity to for me to wean myself off of Coke Zero, but I sort of feel like, have you ever seen, probably you guys have never seen the movie Airplane?
No.
I've seen parts of it. I need to watch the full thing.
There's this one guy who's he's the air traffic controller, and throughout the movie he says things like, I guess I picked the wrong time to stop sniffing glue. I think it starts with, I guess I picked the wrong time to quit smoking. And then it's like, I guess I picked the wrong time to stop sniffing glue. That's how I feel. This is not the right time for me to stop drinking Coke Zero. I don't think I could do it.
Or sniffing glue.
Too many other things going on right now. It's a little stressful. The one thing, though, I feel like I can deal with the stress better in my house than I could those last few days in Italy. Don't get me wrong. We had an okay time in Italy and it was fine. and we were very lucky that everything went as well as it did. But like the stress of being there and thinking, will I be able to make it home was pretty intense for me.
Yeah.
Those last 2 days, I didn't sleep a whole lot.
Yeah.
Just really stressful.
Yeah.
Just like being there. I was stressed out like for y'all. Like, oh, are they going to be able to make it home? Like, what's going to happen here?
And I think the stress a lot of people are experiencing right now is like, we all understand this is serious. I think most people, although I don't know how many people really, most people are taking it seriously. You know, they're washing their hands, they're doing the social distancing. I think what makes it stressful for people is like, just don't know how long it's going to last. Like, when is life going to return to normal? That's what's hard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And nobody really knows for sure. When that's going to happen.
Yeah.
One thing that I've noticed that's like kind of weird to me, at least, is that like the people that don't care as much about this are like older people that like
it is kind of strange, most at risk.
They're just like, oh, I'll be fine. It's like, no, you don't understand.
No.
Like you're highly at risk, and they're like, oh, you know,
the people who are actually concerned are like the opposite of the people who should be concerned.
Yeah, because they're the ones who might end up in the hospital on a ventilator, and mm-hmm. It's true.
Well, and I mean, I know people like my age who are like either immunocompromised or they have like breathing problems as is, so they like really, really can't afford to get it. They work with like high risk populations, and they're like taking it really seriously. It just seems to be like older demographics that are just like, oh man, it's really, you know, it stinks that I can't go to the movies right now. And it's like, of course you can't. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's something. And, you know, I guess there's all different kinds of people. I did see one report that said there's not as much of a difference between the generations as people think there is.
Yeah.
I think people just notice it more because they're like, well, the people who are at risk are the ones who ought to be the most careful. I do think, I don't know, there it could be a mix of things. There could be some people that are just like, well, whatever happens, happens. If it's my time, it's my time. And maybe they've just come to peace with it.
I guess.
But I do think it's important to be, I just can't, like, it's a weird disease in that, like, for some people it's no big deal, but for other people it's very, very serious. And I was thinking, mm-hmm. I was talking about, this is dark for the podcast, so I apologize, but I was talking to mom about how horrible it would be to have to be put on a ventilator.
Like, what's that a ventilator? Would
be, so it's basically a machine that breathes for you when you can't breathe.
Oof. Yeah.
And I just... And just to be like conscious and have to be put on a ventilator, I think would be really rough.
Yeah.
And that's what happens is because it attacks your lungs and it makes it so you can't breathe on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Rough. Yeah, that's a nasty thought. I hadn't really considered that.
But for the most part, you know, I just, it's this, you know how like in a scary movie, like a lot of times with a scary movie, it's like the first half of the movie is way scarier than second half. Because once the monster appears, then it's just kind of exciting and fun. Mm-hmm. But it's the suspense of waiting for like, when is it going to get here? When is it going to arrive? And that's like the sort of the suspense that people are living with right now is like, well, like when are things going to get back to normal? When can we stop being afraid? When can we just do ordinary things that we took for granted, like going out to eat at a restaurant or going to a concert and without even thinking twice about it?
Yeah.
Getting your hair cut, you know? I do wonder like, how long is my hair going to grow before I get another haircut? I think I'm going to have to force mom to cut it. I'm going to have to force Allison to cut my hair.
Does she not want to?
She's probably okay with it. But it's like, you know, I just go to the hair place and they cut it and it's no big deal. But you can't do that anymore. I think it's going to be a long time before hair salons are open again.
So speaking of things we do well isolated, the new Animal Crossing game came out.
Oh,
yes, it did.
Yeah.
Yes, it did. I think a lot of people are finding that that's like something very, it's like the perfect game for 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, if you're craving pizza, like having a frozen pizza, like it's not quite the same thing as social interaction, but it scratches that itch, you know?
It's sort of like social interaction. It's also just very calming. Like, I've always thought the Animal Crossing games, they're so soothing and relaxing.
Yeah.
Even though you're doing like annoying errands for all the villagers, It's still relaxing. Mm-hmm. And you can go do a little bit of fishing. You can look for shells. You can shake trees for fruit. I assume you can still do some of the new one. I haven't played the new one.
Yeah, you can.
You can.
Yeah. And you just kind of go at your own pace and do what you want to do. And
this one, you can even craft stuff.
Yeah.
I have to try it. I haven't tried it. We got it. We downloaded it last weekend. And then I ended up working so much last weekend that I didn't really have a whole lot of free time.
Yeah, Mom hasn't completed either, but me and Will have. Pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's really fun. I like it a lot. I've been playing that in Breath of the Wild. And of course Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah, I was telling Mom that she needs to start playing the new Animal Crossing because she hasn't yet at dinner, and she said, "Well, do you think we could hook up the Switch in our bedroom?" And I was like, "Yeah, you lift the Switch."
You just bring her in.
Yeah.
She was like,
oh. You should have called her a boomer.
I don't think she realized that it's portable. I had to explain to her that the entire concept of the Switch is that it's portable, but also not portable at all at the same time.
So, yes.
That's the appeal.
I need to spend a little bit of quality time with Animal Crossing as well. I wonder, like, it's so weird that, like, this whole experience reaches into, like, every part of our society. So, like, movie theaters have to close down. Mm-hmm. So we don't care about, like, what movie was supposed to be released because no movies are being released right now.
You know? Yeah. Like, every aspect of life, like, because it kind of seems like we've had diseases that only reach like certain communities before, but this one's like pretty universal. And I think that's the first time that's really happened where like a certain event hits pretty much exactly the same for everybody. Like not exactly the same, like for example, people who can't like work from home or people who like will get laid off because their employer can't afford to keep them on. Like that's definitely difficult, but in a lot of ways like this sort of experience is like it's affecting every part of life, which I find really interesting.
Yeah.
And I feel like part of the reason why it's so scary isn't because it's as dangerous as like for instance Ebola or the Black Plague, but it's everywhere. Like even the Black Plague wasn't everywhere.
And I also think there's gonna be a lot of gonna be a lot of unintended effects too, just because and again this is a little dark for the podcast, but I guess we're talking about a serious topic.
Yeah. But
the one thing I worry about the most is, so it's great that like it's actually really great that I have a family. Like I appreciate having a family so much right now because I've got people right in our own house that I can connect with and interact with, but I really worry about people who like live on their own.
Yeah
Like, and they can't just go out and see friends. They can't hang out, you know, and go out to a restaurant and just, you know, hang out and meet people, but they're just alone. And I just think, you know, loneliness is such a destructive thing. I think it's underrated how destructive it is, but loneliness compounded by like the isolation of the pandemic. I just worry about everyone's mental health.
Yeah. Although then again, I guess that's why Zoom exists.
Yeah. This is why podcasts exist. I feel like podcasts really have a role to play, honestly. I've noticed a lot of podcasts that I listen to have started doing remote because that's all they can do, but they're still trying to keep the podcasts going.
Yeah.
And I think that's really good. I haven't had as much time to listen to them, so I'm a little behind on my podcasts, to be honest, because usually I'd listen to them like on my commute or like at lunch, but I've been so busy I don't have a commute now, and I don't know. But I think it's, you know, people need to connect, and there's like an online forum that Mom and I hang out at that's sort of got a long history. It used to be part of a blog that I used to write for, and
then
it became
people
an online
stopped
community
writing on the blog, and then they just removed the blog, and it was just the chat
part.
Yeah,
so it's just an online community, and it's like a lot of people that like, you know, are pretty nice people, highly educated. But I actually posted something on that community today saying, hey, if anyone here just feels like they need to chat with someone, just send me a DM and you can give me a call.
How
just
many DMs
I worry about
did you
people
get
that are just not connecting with others right now. Because connecting with people, and I'm not even like a super social person, but like, I don't know. They say like solitary confinement is like a form of torture.
Yeah, I believe it. And like the stories of like people who go through that are absolutely horrifying. I can't imagine like what I would be doing right now if I didn't have like Bex and Sasha here.
Your cat.
But also, I mean, even with those two, which I like both of them very much, especially, you know, Bex, because they're like a real human person that I can talk to. Love you, Sasha. She's right here. She's sleeping. But
yeah, Bex can say stuff really other than meow.
I actually saw a news story today saying that the one, if there is any good effects of the pandemic, the one good effect that has been is like the animal shelters are clearing out because people are going and getting pets.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I mean,
they're getting dogs and cats.
Also,
several people. Who went out and got a puppy because they were like, well, I'm at home all the time anyway, and I've, you know, always, I can train them, like, I can spend a lot of intensive time with them.
And I think they sort of need that companionship, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, okay, this, I'm pretty sure this would be counted as another positive effect, but YouTube's probably making a lot of money.
Twitch, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, it's very strange. Amazon. You know, it's gonna be really destructive to the economy too. I don't know when we're all going to recover from it, but
we should all just become gaming channels on YouTube.
I mean, the U.S. is going to become a gaming economy exclusively.
I'm very grateful that like our family's not super at risk. I worry about, so part of my job is I've been reading a lot of these stay home orders from all around the country. And, you know, I've noticed that some of them specifically say, you know, this order does not apply to homeless people. We encourage homeless people to find shelter, but we're not going to, you know, prosecute you for being. And you think about that, like, if the order is you have to stay home, you have to stay in your residence, but you don't have a home, how rough would that be?
Yeah, I thought about that.
Yeah, I thought about that a lot, actually, because I joined like an organization in my area that does like a lot of community outreach and support with homeless people. And we had to cancel, like, we usually have a gathering where we like set up a little area in the park and we like serve meals and we have like donated books from a bookstore near us. We have like donated goods, and like we had to cancel because we were worried about like being a vector for spread.
Yeah. Because any gathering is not good right now, unfortunately.
No. And we just can't physically do it. But I've been really like worried about like some of the people that we see there a lot and like where they're going to end up and how they're going to find shelter. Thankfully, the homeless shelter in our area has been getting pretty consistent help from us. We've sort of redirected our efforts towards helping the homeless shelter.
Mm-hmm.
I know that some of my friends started an aid network, which is like, you know, we will just sort of pool resources. I actually got some of my neighbors. I reached out to my neighbors. I put a little note on their door that's like, hey, I'm in this apartment. Here's my phone number. Let's start a group chat so that, like, if anybody needs anything, we can get you, like, if you need, you know, toilet paper, I can reach out to the aid network. And we'll bring it down for you. If anybody, like, you know, needs help with this or that, we can do that. And so that's actually been a really big positive, is like getting to know my neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And like kind of helping them out with various stuff.
Yeah.
Not in person so much.
Right.
So like I know their names and their phone numbers, but I don't know what they look like.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting times. Let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I have a news story that relates to the lockdown. You know, a lot of the stay home orders, the shelter in place orders, specifically apply to churches, and they say churches have to not gather because, you know, any gathering of 10 or more people is can be a public health problem. So some churches are doing remote. So they like video broadcast to their services. And this is a story about an Italian priest who was conducting a service.
This is howling right now.
And he was doing it on Facebook. And he forgot to take the Facebook filters off.
What Facebook filters?
It says, what? Italian priest accidentally live streams mass with Facebook filters active.
Which ones?
An Italian priest's live stream mass on Facebook went viral after the religious leader accidentally left the platform's AR filters active, causing him to appear in various cartoon disguises. Paolo Longo, parish priest for the Church of San Pietro in San Benedetto di Polo in Salerno province, live-streamed Mass on Facebook to allow parishioners to attend the service virtually amid the coronavirus outbreak. Longo's video went viral when he accidentally left the Facebook AR filters active during the live stream, causing him to appear with animated accessories including a sci-fi helmet, lifting dumbbells, and a hat and sunglasses.
Where are dumbbells?
Weights.
Like weights that you lift one at a time. The priest had a sense of humor about the mistake, later posting, "Even a laugh is good." We've got the video here, but of course, this is an audio medium, so...
Guess we'll just describe
probably
it.
Probably wouldn't.
Maybe.
Yeah, here's the video. He's setting up the live stream on Facebook. You can see his hand near the camera. Effects. And now he has his face helmet. Now he has... I don't know what that... Oh, it's dumbbells.
Yeah.
There's like snow falling. And he has no clue what's going on, so he's just doing the mass.
And he has like a hat and glasses
and sunglasses. That is pretty funny.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Elizabeth, you want to share your story?
Yes. So this one also relates to the at-home type stuff. So this is a survey about how many percentages of people get on like online meetings, so like Zoom or Hangouts or whatever, and they turn their video camera off because they are currently not wearing clothes.
I'm gonna think about this like every day now.
Yeah, when you're on video chat, just like, I wonder how many of my coworkers are just not wearing pants at the moment.
Well, they accidentally clicked it, though.
We don't do any video meetings. They're all just audio or phone.
Oh, so probably a higher percentage then for
probably.
You.
Probably.
Have fun thinking about that.
Like, when I first started working from home after we got home from Italy, I was like, well, what should I wear? And the first day, I think I put on a button-down shirt because I was like, well, what if we have a video conference? But now it's like, I know we're never going to have one. So it's like a t-shirt and jeans, a t-shirt and shorts. Why would I wear anything else?
Yeah, I'm going to be real.
I do wear clothes. I do wear clothes.
Yep. That's good.
I am wearing pants at the moment, like real like jeans. However, that's kind of strange because people were over at my house today and that has not happened for pretty much the entirety of the quarantine. So
Elizabeth, if I can make a request, please always wear clothes on the podcast.
I'm always fully clothed. It's just that, like, I usually wear pajamas.
Our listeners might not know the difference, but I'll know the difference.
Yeah, there would be, like, a weird vibe. For me personally, it would be a weird vibe. I'm too uncomfortable with that, personally.
Yes, please.
I promise I'm always fully clothed.
So that's why you don't use the video
story.
Chat.
What does the story say?
Does anybody want to guess what percentage of people... don't put on video
60.
While they're...
no, that's too high. That's too high. 40. 40.
I saw the story, so I can't.
You've read the story. 40? It's actually lower than that. It's 12%.
Oh, I was going to say 20 next.
That's still a high number of naked people.
That's still, if there's 10
that's
people on
eight.
A video call, at least
that's
one of
just
them.
Under
I'm on calls all the time where there's like 20 people, maybe 60 people. That's plenty of people.
That's enough to make you a little uncomfortable.
Yeah,
that's
that means
just
like
under
2% of those people on those calls.
Or not 8%,
completely
an 8.
Naked.
Yeah, just fully nude. So it also says here, so 44% of those surveyed admitted they dressed in more professional attire specifically for video meetings. So like they put on maybe like a blazer, maybe a shirt that didn't have a big old chili stain right near the gut.
Someone, I think I heard this on a podcast somewhere. Someone described it as the business mullet, where it's
business
up
top, on the
top, party on the bottom.
Yeah, on the bottom. Yeah.
Because you can wear like shorts, but like a shirt and a tie and then like shorts. And no
exactly.
one will ever know the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody has to know.
Unless you drop the camera. Wait, I wonder how rigged that poll is, though, that's in the article.
I mean, I think could people had the option of just answering it however they wanted to. So.
Yeah.
16% of people said they rearranged their homes to look more professional in the background of a video call, which is something that I'm self-conscious about.
I can see that. I mean, I've done like phone interviews before and thought, you know, like I don't want to have something weird in the background.
That's only pineapples.
Yeah. Yeah. A total 11% of respondents reported seeing something that they considered unprofessional in the background of a coworker's video call.
That's so wonderfully vague.
Yeah. But like, just, I guess, let your imagination run wild as to like whatever, what they saw.
One thing I've noticed is because we have all of these phone calls, two people can't really talk at the same time when you're on those calls.
Yeah.
And, like, I am very disciplined about, I will always keep my phone on mute unless I'm talking, and then I'll mute it again. But inevitably, every single call, someone's dog will start barking in the background.
Yeah, because they forget to mute.
Yeah.
And maybe they can't help it because they're talking at the moment, but it's like, all right.
Well, see, I live in kind of a smaller apartment, so I'm worried that, like, somebody's going to flush the toilet in the other room and somebody's going to think I'm in the bathroom.
Yeah. That's why you always keep the phone on mute unless you absolutely have to talk.
Yeah, I'm pretty paranoid about that. Mm-hmm. But that was just a fun little little statistics for you.
I read something, I think this was on Twitter, about like a guy who was saying they were on this call and they were like, I think it was a bunch of doctors. There were like 50 doctors on this call, and they had to like hang up the call because in the middle of it someone was like, "This guy's an idiot." And then they were trying to figure out like who said it. And the person was like, "No, I'm smart enough to mute my phone when I'm on those calls."
On the video conference that I did have, the faculty meeting, when I had just joined, so I hadn't had the chance to mute my microphone, Sasha decided it was a great idea to come up and make her presence known very loudly. The principal who was running the whole video meeting literally said, "What? I can't tell if that was a cat or a squeaky door." And I said, I immediately muted it, and I typed out in the chat, "I'm so sorry, that was my cat."
Yeah, that's one good thing about Zoom.
Probably didn't
have
to admit it, but that was good of you to be forthcoming, I suppose.
Well, there's no reason not to.
Anything else from your story?
No, that was all the stats they gave. That was just funny.
All right, Henry, you want to do your story?
The headline is, "French athlete runs entire marathon on 23-foot-long apartment balcony."
Oh, jeez.
Wait, what? Oh, yeah. That is intense.
So, essentially, this was, like, an athlete from France, and they're going to run a marathon, but then it got canceled. So, instead, he did an entire marathon, I guess just running back and forth. Yeah, back and forth on a 23-foot balcony that he had.
For 26.2 miles?
Yes.
Impressive. Very impressive.
I can't pronounce his name, but he said that it took him 6 hours and 48 minutes to complete the approximately 3,000 laps that it took to run the distance of a marathon. So like
3,000 laps.
But also,
you get dizzy.
Over a quarter of the entire day, including sleeping.
Well, marathons take a long time to run anyway.
That's fair.
But to do it on a balcony, I don't know. I wouldn't have the patience for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like a marathon.
You'd have no sense of progression.
Yeah.
I feel like if I was to do a marathon, like, it's just like, okay, well, I'm already here, and I have to, like, in order to get this over with, I have to run the marathon. But if it's just, like, you know, completely, like, self-determined, I don't think I'd have the willpower to not just go, "You know what, actually, forget this. I'm going inside."
Mm-hmm. Because, like,
stinks.
Once you start running a marathon, you're pretty much, like, there. Like, you can't just go inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't just be like, "Nah, I'm going to go." Like, you're already showed up, and you've done the training and everything, which he probably, he definitely trained still. But regardless, that's some commitment. That's some, like,
It does say that his girlfriend acted as his support team, who apparently feed him M&M's and Coca-Cola as he ran.
How did he not cramp up?
drinking Coke and eating M&Ms. I like that. That's how I would want to run a marathon. I've never ran a I've run a half marathon before, but I've never run a marathon.
I've walked like 9 miles and that's all I'm willing to do.
I've walked 18.9 miles before.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have also done that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool story. All right. Let's do a segment. Let's do some would you rather. Just real quick. I like this first would you rather. I've got the would you rather app open. Would you rather have arms twice the size or have legs twice the size?
Legs so I could support everything else.
Somehow I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I feel like legs twice the size would look a little less strange. If you had arms twice the size, like, that'd be dragging
on the ground.
I already
have like relatively larger legs, I guess. But
like proportional to your body.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like that would be better because like.
On the other hand, if your legs were twice the size, you'd be like ridiculously tall. You'd look like a giraffe and you'd bump your head a lot.
True. But if your arms were half the size, then your legs would crush under the weight. And so would everything else.
Well, I assume you would have the muscular
would you just
build
handstand?
To handle it. I don't know. You would look like an ape, really, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in a sense, humans are apes, but you would look like a gorilla.
Do you know, there's a song that is really popular if you are a Drag Race fan or what? If you're on TikTok. That starts out, they tried to put me on the cover of Vogue, but my legs were just too long.
What? I'm unfamiliar with this TikTok stuff.
This song. It's a song. That's the introduction. They tried to put me on the cover of Vogue, but my legs were just too long. That's what this question reminds me of.
Not sure.
All right, let's vote.
But legs.
Legs.
Obviously.
Everybody
thinks
legs.
Long legs.
All right. Only 38% said have legs twice the size. Apparently 62% thought arms twice the size.
Why would you
run so fast?
Weird.
You could run way faster and you could support everything else.
Although
you'd
never fit into any bed that wasn't custom made. Your legs would always hang off the side.
Two beds. Or just two mattresses, I guess.
I don't have the room for that.
Well, but we do. Not the Flex. Wow.
Would you rather eat a zombie or be eaten by a zombie?
Wait,
what?
Sorry. Excuse me.
So, this made me laugh, so I decided I would do this one. Would you rather eat a zombie or be eaten by a zombie? If you eat a zombie, do you become a zombie?
I would think so.
Or do you become a zombie by being eaten by a zombie? I'm not really sure what the rules are here for zombies.
Can you cook the zombie?
Can you salt it?
I suppose you could. I mean, you could like
make a
zombie stew.
That sounds actually like not that bad. I think I'm gonna go with eat a zombie.
I would think I'd rather eat a zombie than be eaten by a zombie. I don't want to be eaten by a zombie.
I want to
be gross, but want to be painful. So I think the gross one, which would be eating the zombie.
Okay, 69% agreed. Eat a zombie.
Yeah. Like that's just like a
okay.
Interesting. A food experience rather than death. So yeah,
unique cuisine.
Cuisine. Hey Henry, this book came up recently with a friend I was talking to. Have you ever read the book How to Eat Fried Worms?
No, I haven't.
It's a pretty good book, I think, if I'm remembering it correctly. I think essentially this kid gets dared to eat a worm by like one of his bullies. And to, like, show his bully up, he's like, I'm gonna eat, like, 10 of them. And then, like, he comes up with, like, different recipes to eat worms.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, what if I saute it with, like, mushrooms?
What if
is
I eat
that
it
good?
On a sandwich?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he, like, grows as a person, I think, or something. But the whole point of the book is he cooks worms in a bunch of different ways.
All right, here's another one.
I've heard that's good.
Would you rather have permanent clown makeup or have permanent clown clothes?
We've already done this one.
Have we?
I already wear clown clothes. I already dressed like a clown.
We've already ran into this one, actually.
And I think I look great.
So, clothes.
Yeah, clothes. There's some pretty fashionable clowns out there.
True. To be fair, all clothes are clown clothes because clowns, I don't know, maybe there's some weird clowns that wear normal clothes.
Let's make it work. I'm going to make, turn that, those clown clothes.
I mean, I guess double weird means normal. I don't know.
All right. Apparently we'd already done that one and I've forgotten about it. We'll just do one more. I kind of like this one. Would you rather be your pet for a day or have your pet be a human for a day?
Oh, my cursed. I'd be a pet.
I kind of like both of these options.
I'd be a pet.
I think pets, this is choosing just between two good things.
Yeah.
I kind of want to be a dog.
You might have to eat pet food. But if you're a dog, maybe you wouldn't care. Well,
yeah. And also, I could drink dirty water.
You could do that anyway as a human. It's just not a good experience.
Yeah.
That's what you long for. Now I know Henry's secret desire.
But dogs can drink dirty water without dying. That's a thing.
I can like jump from heights. I can...
let's break it down. Though,
even if I was into a cat, I would feel uncomfortable not like wearing clothes all the time.
Let's break this down a little bit because I think both have some pros that we're overlooking. Being a pet for today, the nice thing about being a pet is you have no responsibility. You just kind of do whatever you want. You want to take a nap, you take a nap. You want to run around the house, you run around the house.
Yeah.
But having your pet be a human for
would
the day.
Would they be as intelligent though?
Having your pet, I don't know.
Would they know human language?
Maybe they would be random human.
I wouldn't think that they would.
Well, if they're human, they would know human language. So you would have a.
Would they though?
You'd have a chance to really have a heart-to-heart talk with your pet.
But wouldn't you if you were also a pet?
Language is a part of being a human. I'm going to assume that they can talk. So you'd have that for that
and
one
tools,
day.
I
you
guess,
could chat right? with your pet.
I guess.
What if they were
but
a
you could also do
human?
That if you were a pet.
What if they were an annoying human?
Wait, but think about it. If you were a pet, it'd be a cool experience, and you could talk with them, supposedly.
I don't know.
I am going to risk the idea that my cat is a jerk and hates me, because I think it'd be too interesting to pass up, like seeing what Sasha would look like as a human.
It really is, because I think it's easier to it's easier to picture yourself as a pet for the day, and you probably wouldn't learn a whole lot. You'd just be like, oh, that was.
Well, exactly.
Interesting. But to have your pet be human for a day, that's like truly that unique.
Science.
Although it's maybe frightening too. Maybe a little creepy.
But then you'll never get to talk to them again.
I wouldn't be worried
be
about
sad.
Like while it's going on. I'd be worried about after when you like look at them and they're like doing something gross and you're like, I know what you look like as a person and now I can't stop picturing you doing that same gross thing.
This is
but
kind
as
of
a
hard
human.
One.
So the users of the Would You Rather app. Actually, it was not close at all. This is one of the widest divides that I've seen. Which do you think they picked?
Be your pet for a day.
I feel like they picked that, but I want to say have your pet be a human.
Elizabeth, you are correct. It was.
So was I.
It was.
You chose both, though.
Well, I said that my answer was pet being a human, and then.
Yeah. 82% chose be your pet for today a day, even though at least Elizabeth and I chose have your pet be human for a day.
Yeah.
So there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is thank you for being on the podcast because we have no treat yourself treats.
Oh.
We have no ability to go buy ourselves treat yourself treats. There are no treats in the house.
I mean, we have a pineapple. Why can't we just
chop
up the pineapple?
Treat yourself treats.
I could try and dig out something from the back of my freezer. If you want, and just be like, I don't know what this is, but I'll try.
I ordered some random stuff on Amazon, but it's not supposed to get here until Saturday. So this week we will have no treat yourself treat. I think it's been like
for the first time
since like episode
since it started.
Three, I think.
First time since it started.
Yeah. So
dang.
Curse you, coronavirus, for taking away our treat yourself treats.
Oh, I have to tell you something. So
what is it?
So there's a kid in one of my classes. I'm not going to say his name. He knows who he is. He doesn't listen to the podcast. I hope he doesn't.
Can't
he never
imagine
does.
He does.
That's weird. But he's in one of my favorite classes because they're all like really nice kids. But every single day he comes up to me and he's like, hey, Miss Bear, do I get a 100 if I make it from here? And he always has like a crumpled piece of paper and he like stands across the room and tries to throw it in the garbage can. He's like,
that
do I get a free 100
the time.
If I make it from-
There's like that one kid that always does that in.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that one kid. And I, even if like, even if I'm like, I'll say like, no, you won't get a free 100, but he does it anyway. Or like sometimes we're not even doing anything that I can grade in that class. And I'm like, what, a free 100 on what exactly do you want? But he always does it anyway. And he'll eventually, he always misses. And eventually he'll go like, oh, this one's for my dog. This one's, you know, this one's for my mom or whatever. And he always misses. The day before spring break, he said, hey, Miss Bear, if I get this basket, will I get a 100? And I'm like, how about you'll have a really good spring break? And he's like, yeah, deal. And he, of course he missed. So he started doing it and he said, all right, this one's for coronavirus. And he made it.
Oh,
and so
no.
I personally choose to believe that he healed this upon us.
He's doomed us.
He doomed us. It's your fault if you're listening to this, which I hope you're not, because that's kind of weird.
Well, on that note, thank you, Elizabeth, for being on the podcast. Thank you, Henry, for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
And thank you especially to anyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And you can find us at talkdadpodcast.com, where you can download and stream all of our episodes. If you're interested in our trip to Italy, which was kind of an interesting experience, you can listen to last week's episode. If you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend about the podcast, and two, you can leave us a 5-star review. If you subscribe, rate, and review us, that helps us out so that other people might be able to find the podcast if they're looking for a podcast to listen to. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. There's time for-